Good afternoon, Columbus, and welcome to WCRS 102.1, 98.3, your low-power FM. And it's Wednesday, and you have Dano with Talk of the Town. And you know that we are a product of Simply Living Radio. So welcome to Wednesday here in the capital city. And it's a little humid outside. Got a little wind, though, but it's going to be a great day. So here we are, Talk of the Town. Today, my guest is Mark Easterling from Homes on the Hill, and he's going to be discussing the foreclosures and a whole bunch of other elements that has to do with the housing crisis that we're experiencing in the United States, and in particularly here in Central Ohio. Good afternoon, Mark.
Good afternoon, Dan. Thanks for having me here.
Oh, my pleasure. As a matter of fact, I believe in the nonprofits so well, only from the standpoint of the information that nonprofit agencies can share to people here in Central Ohio, specifically when in times of need, and in this case, the housing crisis.
Yes. First and foremost, if you have any listeners out there today who are experiencing delinquency with their mortgage, or they have a friend, family member, neighbor, feel free to have them contact our organization. We are tasked with helping prevent and keep people in their homes right now. That's a number one priority.
Well, we're going to get to all that information in a second, but Mark and I, we were chatting off the air, and one of the things we were talking about was how the foreclosure rate is affecting everyone, not just it's everybody. I mean, it knows no ethnicity. I mean, that's it. People have found themselves in dire straits at this point, up to the point where, let's just say, with the gas prices going up and up and up, food prices spiking like no one's business, corn, milk, I mean, just your everything that we normally knew to be cheap at one point is now pushing everyone against the wall, where all of a sudden, do I buy groceries or do I pay my rent or my mortgage? So, nonetheless, Homes on the Hill, how long has it been established?
Homes on the Hill, we just celebrated our 15th year in existence in the Hilltop with an annual event this past spring.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, I knew you had a kiosk at Festival Latino, and until I saw it in the program, my only thought was, who are these people and how come I don't know them?
Yeah, we're what's referred to as a community development corporation, a CDC. There are a half dozen or so CDCs around Central Ohio, primarily in Columbus, and we all have the focus of helping to promote quality housing and home ownership education in various areas of the city. Our geographic area that we're tasked with is the Greater Hilltop.
Okay, and
on the west side.
Are there other agencies part of Homes on the Hill that are, you know, east side, south side?
There are other CDCs, yes, that are in South Columbus and the Greater Linden and near east side, off the top of my head.
Oh, fabulous.
There are some other CDCs, yes,
okay,
that do similar work.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Now, you had mentioned acquisition and rehabilitation of houses. And we chatted about that briefly off air. Would you like to tell everyone about the acquisition and rehabilitation?
Sure. Our organization will acquire many times a vacant or abandoned property, and we will utilize funds that are in support of our work from the City of Columbus and from the Franklin County Commissioners. To help acquire and develop, in other words, rehab the properties. Many times I tell people that we're taking one of the tougher nuts on the block that sometimes investors and other individuals pass by because they're in very, very rough condition. And it takes an organization like ours with some support from our acquisition and rehab partners to develop the property, bring it up to today's standards, and then resell it to a family at a low to moderate income level. There's some income qualifications that are involved, but those families then get a home that they can rely on for the next 10 to 15 years to be energy efficient, one where the mechanicals have been replaced and are new, and we've gone in and many times abated, or I should say always abate, the lead that we find either in exterior or interior paint, new windows, and we just find traces of lead through inspections, and we abate all of that on each and every home that we do.
You mentioned 10 to 15 years. Someone being in a house for 10 to 15 years, doesn't that give a neighborhood stability?
Absolutely.
So this way you don't wind up with a bunch of transients. So that way you might have a half dozen houses where all of a sudden people who couldn't afford a house before are now happy homeowners.
Yes, we're able to sell that newly rehabbed home at an affordable level to an individual who wants to be part of the street and wants to be part of the community. In other words, that home has gone from vacant status to now a neighbor for the street, someone, an extra set of eyes and ears to watch out for things, and someone who wants to keep the property up and therefore help the other neighbors on the street with their property value.
And what this does, it forms community unity, because what also happens, everyone gets to know one another. All the kids wind up at the same school, mm-hmm. So everyone is now interconnected just by being a homeowner through your program.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And they're also a homeowner who has gone through our pre-purchase home buyer workshop and has had a couple of hours of one-on-one financial counseling with our housing counseling staff. And so it's a better educated buyer who has gone through those steps, and we've acquired and rehabbed about 55 homes in the Hilltop in the last 10 years. And that's not counting our partnership with Habitat for Humanity on the vacant lots to have some of the first new build housing in the Hilltop in quite a long time. Through that partnership with Habitat on the vacant lots.
And, you know, with Habitat for Humanity, one of our PSAs that we run here, Free Geek, I guess Free Geek has teamed up with Habitat for Humanity, so that once a house is built, once the keys are given, they also put in a computer.
Wow, okay.
So it's really awesome.
That is awesome. Yes.
I was talking to these guys at I was talking to Miles Curtis at ComFest, and he was telling me all about that and how they have partnered that way, and I just thought, how neat. I mean, so here are two nonprofits holding hands together,
yes.
And everyone benefits from it.
Yes, indeed. We have enjoyed a great fruitful partnership with Habitat, and look forward to many more projects with them in our area, the Hilltop.
And, you know, it's as much volunteer work as I do, I'd really love to do that one time.
Mm-hmm.
just help.
Swing a hammer.
Yeah, just pound some nails. You know, just go have some fun for a day or two.
Yeah, and for your listeners as well, I'll make a plug for the Habitat for Humanity resale store that's located off on Westerville Road.
Been there.
And, yeah, you can get some great buys there.
Oh, absolutely. Light fixtures, basins, wood. There are a number of things that can be purchased at that place.
Yes.
And it all goes back to one thing. Habitat.
Yeah.
Let's talk foreclosure briefly, because foreclosure, obviously, that's you finally have the finances, you go through the classes, you see your dream home, you get it, and now something happens, whether medical emergency, layoff, something happens, and now all of a sudden your creditors are knocking on your door and saying, pay up or give back the house. How does Homes on the Hill help a person who may be nearing that foreclosure or in foreclosure?
The biggest thing that I find that I'm helping our foreclosure clients with is just making an initial contact with the lender. The clients many times have not been in contact with the lender for whatever reason, thinking that if I contact them, it's only going to accelerate the process, perhaps, or I'm embarrassed, or they just want my house. They're going to come after my house and get it no matter what I do. So I'm just going to maybe roll over a little bit and not work with them. But by coming into our agency and working with them, contacting the lender, we get that first start on the road to trying to get some documentation to the lender. Lenders want to know, have you had a hardship? What is the hardship that has impacted your life? Is it a health crisis? Is it unemployment? Divorce? Did you lose a roommate that was contributing to the overall monthly housing expenses? The lenders do not want to take all of these properties back and try and deal with getting them back into the hands of other individuals through real estate transactions. They want to prevent any unnecessary foreclosures because it does cost the investor a lot of money to carry out a full-blown foreclosure process on a home. They do lose money. So when I get a chance and work with a borrower who then maybe gets a temporary forbearance agreement where they can pay a portion of the money on their arrearage and then make some payments for a temporary period of time until they can get caught up with a fresh start, it really opens their eyes to, hey, I'm glad I came in, and it's great that they're, you know, willing to work with me.
Well, and even from all the articles I've read, whether it's in the New York Times, USA Today, even the Columbus Dispatch, it doesn't I'm talking nationwide and not so much Central Ohio, that it seems like a lot of people with their backs against the wall are just throwing their hands in the air and just giving up. And it would seem that an agency as yours and the good work that you're doing, it would seem to me that this would be repeated in Minneapolis, Chicago, Houston, and I'm not seeing that that's being done.
Maybe not right out first and foremost in the major news trades, but I can tell you behind the scenes, even organizations at the county level, like here in Franklin County, we have the Save Our Homes Task Force, and we're doing a TV forum tomorrow night to try and get the word out on the public television station. But around the country, other counties and states are copying some of the more successful programs, which have been borrower outreach days, where lenders are coming together with counseling agencies and having an event and notifying people, doing some marketing to try and get as many borrowers in delinquency as possible to come to this event where you won't be judged. We're here to help. You might even be able to meet with a representative of the lending institution who, you know, can work with you one-on-one right there and get some action initiated. So those things are happening. There are some bus tours from some of the larger housing organizations like NeighborWorks that will have gone to some of the larger cities and promoted those type of borrower outreach days.
And you see, and again, through certain media, you never see that glimmer of hope. Mm-hmm. All you see is just, you know, destitution and people sitting on the curb with their belongings and just sitting and crying and nothing positive. This is so unique because, and it's so very positive, that people will finally get their self-esteem back, as
sure.
You said earlier,
yes.
And all of a sudden feel like they belong again to the community.
Well, I'm hoping that we're in the process at Homes on the Hill of developing some of those stories and success stories of people who've come through our agency who just needed, Dan, they just needed a little assistance right now to get back on track with their mortgage. And there are rescue funds available, not through our organization directly, but I can refer individuals to several other organizations here, MORPC, Mid-Ohio Regional Planning Commission, and CHP, Columbus Housing Partnership, have rescue funds available for individuals to just temporarily get them. It's a one-time assistance to get them caught up and get them that fresh start. And that benefits everyone. Even that small amount of assistance benefits everyone. Think of the neighbors who are impacted on the street when two to three homes in a neighborhood go into foreclosure. You know, you're seeing that it's affecting the property values here in Central Ohio. Some pockets have been hit worse than others, but I am seeing individuals from all neighborhoods in Franklin County and some of the surrounding counties who have gotten behind on their mortgage. And really, the big triggers are divorce, job loss, health crisis, in particular the health crisis, because if you were on a tight budget and you've been impacted with a health crisis, it has that perfect storm scenario with the rising gas and food prices. And now I've been off of my job for a while, or my income has diminished because of that health crisis, and I can't get caught back up.
Exactly. And I hear a cell phone going off. I know it's not.
I thought maybe we were going to break. I was going too long or something. I thought that's great. What do they call that? Bump music?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, we will go to break after that. And as a matter of fact, I always like to do a little musical break in between, so that way you can catch your breath, drink a little water, and just have fun from there. Okay, so this is Dano with Mark Easterling on WCRS 102.1, 98.3, your low-power FM. Oh, my goodness. It's Wednesday, and it's a lot of fun. We're just going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. Okay, we're back. And this is Dano, WCRS 102.1, 98.3, your low power FM. And my guest is Mark Easterling. Mark, we're back. And after a little giggle over the phone, you know, he was under the impression that that was the cue to break. However, we don't have we're not quite that technologically complete yet for this station, but that's okay.
I started talking more rapid to fit myself in, so I didn't get cut off by the music.
No, we don't do that here. You know, it's almost like the call-in section where someone calls up and they want to go on a rant and they go, okay, we'll go to break right now, and person's probably still talking at home and have no idea that they're not being heard. But
yes,
we don't do that here. You know, but nonetheless, so still have that giggle just crawling in the back of my head with the telephone. But nonetheless, safety.
Yes.
Safety with Homes on the Hill.
We know that in order to, obviously we need to sell the homes that we acquire in rehab, and one of the perceptions of the area that we work in, the Hilltop, is that it's too dangerous to live. Many areas of Columbus have, you know, their own issues with safety, just like ours, but we've gone a little extra step in that we have had generous support from the City Council of Columbus and the United Way to obtain some grants to hire some ambassadors. We call them Hilltop Ambassadors, and they patrol primarily the areas of Sullivan and Hague Avenue and the West Broad Street corridor between Highland Avenue, top of the hill there, and Hague, and walk and patrol in and amongst the merchants and the residents, and they're an extra set of eyes and ears for the Columbus Police Department, and they help residents where they can. They report suspicious activity, and the merchants especially enjoy their presence as they're patrolling and walking, because they break up some loitering and some of that negative community impact there on the streets.
Is that based on what happened with the same type of ambassador group that's downtown between City Center and Nationwide Arena?
Yes, yes. Same premise in that it's amazing what a couple of people patrolling that are wearing a uniform, but they're not police. They just want to be more of a liaison for the community.
Right.
And we have also helped form the West Broad Street Merchants Block Watch. Many times you think of a block watch as a group of residents on a particular street. These are merchants in that West Broad Street corridor and residents who live above the merchants who have come together and said, you know, we want to be the eyes and ears for each other in this area, and we also want to work with city services to try and bring more of what the city has to offer to help out our businesses here. And so by you know, hoping to promote a more safer environment, again, helps everyone on every block in the Central Hilltop.
Oh, sweet. You know, I don't know if they have one of those in the Linden area yet, and I had stopped at a little restaurant this morning, and I didn't notice anything different, but maybe they could incorporate something like that in the Linden area.
Sure.
So, because I know between the Hilltop, downtown, I think they have something like that in Marion Village.
Mm-hmm.
It's really neat to see people walking around, and let's face it, some motorists get lost, and the last thing you need are wrong directions to get to your destination. So
yes, they indeed have helped people with directions and finding local merchants and just being a presence. Many times the criminal element, the last thing they want is eyes and ears around them when they're conducting their business. And the ambassadors continually report back to me that just by standing on a corner and kind of watching in a general area, people will disperse and move on.
That's good. That's yeah. Great. Well, at least, you know, again, safety is number one, specifically when you're living in a neighborhood and everybody's watching out for one another.
Yes.
So it's That's awesome.
Yep. We want to promote that. And again, it's tied into getting people to look again at an urban setting of living. And I think with maybe some of the higher prices of gas and food, but primarily gas, I think you'll see maybe a renaissance back to people wanting to live into some of the immediate neighborhoods in the city.
Super. Let's do this for a moment. Mass transit. I mean, we have COTA. And there are those that are under the impression that COTA just is not effective because it's not going to where they want to go. So whether you're going from the west side to the south end for your job, I mean, more people would take a bus if, in fact, it was an express versus a local. Mm-hmm. Because you could get there in 30 minutes or less mm-hmm. and then go from there. And I don't hear anyone talking about how to redevelop COTA by having express buses versus the local buses.
Yeah, I have not heard that either, you know, through any of the community groups or organizations that I move in and around. I'm not familiar with their plans for going forward. I do know that individuals who work downtown and on the outskirts of downtown are looking again at the Hilltop, and certainly with an improved COTA system that would allow them to get to work easier would be another benefit to improving the community where we work.
Exactly. The reason I was going with this was I knew at one time when all these warehouses were being built out and around Rickenbacker, the one thing they couldn't get at the time were workers because they didn't have vehicles. These people could fill out an application because their friend dropped them off, mm-hmm. fill out the application, find out 3-4 days later they have the job, but have no way of getting there. And I think at one point there was an attempt with COTA from downtown to that area in the morning. However, it wasn't so much the morning as was the evening getting back.
Yes.
So that's where the difficulty ran in.
Well, COTA, obviously the West Broad Street corridor where we work on a daily basis has a number of stops, and some of the planning for improving that merchant corridor does include improving the bus stops, and COTA is online with that planning to help improve their bus stop areas. And it's obviously heavily traveled on West Broad. Many people pick up COTA in the Hilltop and then take it downtown to transfer on.
Right.
So I see quite a few riders as opposed to, you know, when I'm out in the suburbs, I'm very aware of the buses and the number of riders in the Hilltop.
Exactly. And I really, my feeling, and it's just my opinion, having an express bus that it's going to get you from your destination to downtown, and that's it. Everybody piles in, your park and ride, whatever the case may be, whether it's two or three buses, and it just jets down there, and then after an hour, okay, now you got your local traffic back. Mm-hmm. But just having that speedier transportation to make that next connection to get to that job at 7:30 or 8 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. I think that would be awesome.
Yeah, well, you know, we really love our cars, and we love the control of being able to go where we need to and when. So that may be some time, you know, to change that pattern. But one of the things obviously that could drive that change sooner would be a continued increase in gasoline.
Right. See, and I grew up in an area where you could take a bus anywhere, that mm-hmm. that or a train. So
yes.
So pretty much I skipped a lot of school going to a Yankees game. Didn't find out for 4 years, and my mom asked me when I got home from school, she said, "How was school?" I said, "It was great." And then she looked at me and she said, "Did the Yankees win?" I had no idea.
Of course not.
So anyway, my guest today, Mark Easterling, and we're getting to that point where I have to run. So It's been fun, as always. And this is Dano. Mark, thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome. Thanks for inviting me.
And as usual, this is Dano, Talk of the Town on Wednesday. And as usual, have to thank all my friends, Zach Henkel, Marilyn Welker. Hey, how about that Evan Davis? You too, buddy. Even though you're not here, but I'll just give you a shout-out anyway. And also, all our listeners, and remember, WCRS 102.1, 98.3. And this is Dano with Talk of the Town, and I'm out, and I'll catch you next Wednesday.